Hello, and welcome to Accent to Women, a show by and about women from diverse cultures and languages right across the world. On today's show, we will be listening to a treatise on African spirituality and how it differs from Christianity. This is an excerpt of an interview given by Dr. Kanyisile Shabalala. Have a listen.
I think the first thing I would have is colonialism was a system, social, economic system. And once we use the word social, we include all other facets of society, which would be your political, your spiritual, your education, your infrastructure. So colonialism was a system, and you can't impose a system externally on a people who were the first race on earth, who already by that time had systems that had been running for thousands of years. So you can't dismantle those systems unless you demonize them, one. Two, you also can't infuse your system if you are piecemeal about it. So colonialism was a total destruction of the socio-economic systems they found here, in African spirituality being one of the social ones. What effect did it have? That's a million-dollar question. Let me start by saying the fact that Easter, which we just came from, Ramadan, are all public holidays in Africa, but Africa Day is not, I think, except in four or five countries, says to me that we are first Muslims and Christians before we are African. So what effect did colonialism have? A thoroughgoing effect. They managed to make you an African. If the day that celebrates your being, who you are, is just a normal day, but a day that celebrates two religions that came through colonialism are holidays. Right there, I can pack and leave this interview. You know, I'm done. I've just said a mouthful. Why is it a social? Oh, here's another disclaimer. Of the 54 African countries, there's only one country where African spirituality can officiate the opening of parliament. Opening of parliament is a big ceremony in all the countries. It's awaited for, it's publicized on television. And in all 53 countries, African spirituality would never be given the platform to officiate over opening of parliament. It's either Islam or Christianity, or they interchange depending on the countries. So it's only in South Africa where African spirituality can officiate an opening of parliament. I think it's only in South Africa where African spirituality is not regarded as witchcraft. It's a spirituality. That's just what it is. I mean, we have also a former British colony, first French or Dutch even at a certain time, but the English have heard us the most. So like all the other countries, it is struggling to breathe and survive against Christianity, against Islam, with an Indian population, against Hinduism even. So I think the effect it has had is immense. One, they've managed to convince us that everything that's African spirituality is witchcraft. Now, my daughter normally says, we must decolonize language. And for a long time, I didn't take it seriously until I had to analyze the word witch doctor. I don't know which language you speak. Well, in South Africa, we have 9 official African languages, but we have more because some have not been captured. And I speak, read and write 7 of them. The 8th, I can hear broken speaking. So I can tell you in the African languages I've come across, I'm sure even yours, you'll tell me which one your language is. For us, a witch, umthakathi, that is Zulu, Ndebele, Swati, in Xhosa is igqwirha, and then a healer, that is a doctor, inyanga, or Xhosa people will say ugqirha. Now, I can't tell you that in my languages we have something called inyanga mthakathi or igqwirha qwirha. You are either or. You either heal or you witch and you kill. You can't marry the two. But they've given us that name and it has stayed through colonialism. We call anyone that's practicing African spirituality, healing, we call them witch doctors. Now, I don't know, what is it we say they are doing? Are they witching or are they doctoring? Because you cannot do both. So that for me, as an example, just tells you everything. The negativity that we have towards African spirituality. And I've been to 39 now African countries. I'm just appalled by how, when I say I'm not a Christian, I'm in African spirituality, people quickly say, do you really want to declare that out loud? And I say, why shouldn't I? They say, then people think you're a witch. I said, well, I know I'm not a witch. They can think whatever they think. They are colonized. I'm not colonized. So I think I'll stop here just to allow you to come back. So that's a conversation. There's a good and bad for any system. So when the British left, power was then handed over to the small elite, the Afrikaners. I mean, it's the same system they've done in all the countries. They choose what they think is the most docile of the nation groups that are there, because I don't even buy the word tribe or ethnicity, will get to it. I call them nation groups. So they look at the most docile and they will leave power in the hands of those people because they want neocolonialism to continue. So with us, they found their docile group, which was the Afrikaners, who really are a mixture of the French, Huguenots, the Dutch, the Germans, and whoever else came there. So you, that's why you don't find Africans outside of South Africa. It is strictly South African because they came there and reinvented themselves. So they have nowhere to go. South Africa is just the beginning and end for them. So they left power in their hands, system called apartheid. And what apartheid did for us that was good, that I'm only appreciating now, is, I don't know, they thought maybe they are punishing us or they are keeping us in ignorance. But under apartheid system, I did everything in my mother tongue until the last year of primary school. So I did English as a language, but not as a medium of instruction. Then your last year of school, you start doing things in the English as a medium of instruction right up to high school. So see, this is how I say this. This is a trio. African spirituality, unlike religion, is practiced through the culture. But language is the vehicle of the culture. So for us Africans, the language, the spirituality, and the culture form a triangle that goes together. One feeds off of the other. So the fact that we kept those languages throughout primary school, and then at high school you had to do it as a mother tongue, and if you failed the mother tongue, you couldn't pass a grade 12 or what they call matric. Now, because of that, we kept the language, which means that's the vehicle of the culture. Now, within the culture is the spirituality. So that trio was complete. So even up to university, you have in my time, you have people who did BA in Xhosa, who did BA in Zulu. So it helped force us to keep the culture and to keep the spirituality. I think that's just about what I could say, because otherwise, what makes us distinct from the others? We're all colonized the same. As I say, we're a former British colony. But I think that keeping of the language, because I've actually looked at a lot of African countries through which I go. The mother tongue ends in primary school. I mean, in places like Tanzania, there's not even a mother tongue. There's just Swahili and English. And we know Swahili is not a people. It's just a language. So I think the clamp down on African languages outside South Africa has really killed the spiritual. It has killed the culture. As a result, it has killed the spirituality. But don't be deceived. I need to put a disclaimer even for us, because we are former colonized, and I counted the French, the Dutch, the English, and then it was apartheid. So you also have what I call bastardized African spirituality. So, and which is why I use the phrase fighting back, fighting to survive, that hang on, guys, this is actually the real thing, not the bastardization that it has become. Because I don't know in Kenya, but you'll see in South Africa, mostly, except for the born again fraternity, who are not the majority because the Catholic Church is still the biggest, or ZCC, the Zion Christian Church. When they say I'm a Christian, what they are saying to you is, on Friday, I slaughter the goat, I put the insides, whatever that belong to Msamo, which is the home altar, and I do the whole ritual. But on Sunday, I go to church and I take the sacrament. So those people, because of that, will bring traces of Christianity into African spirituality. And I'll give an example, then I'll let you come back. For instance, I say to South Africans or anyone that I deal with who says, okay, now I hear you, so how do I embrace African spirituality? Is there a book? Who do I speak to? And I say, no, it's not religion. It comes from within. So they come to African spirituality and they're still looking for the bishop, the pope, the bishop, the archbishop, the pastor, they are looking for the prophet. So they want to be consulting all the time. You see West African movies, they want to consult that medium and that medium and that medium. In proper spirituality, people shouldn't tell you things you'd not have felt. You should be in communion with your ancestors every step of the way, which is why we keep umsamo. We call it umsamo in Zulu, Xhosa, Ndebele, and Swati at home, which are called the Nguni languages. Umsamo is where you fight your battles. It is where you interact with your ancestors. It is where your messages come to you. So that when you talk to me, I know I've already felt it, or I have the inclination. This thing of a pastor meets you in church and tells you, oh, no, I think, you know, God told me about you, and God said, but God said nothing to me. So that rot is also with us. You'll meet a person, they will tell you, Melio Twasa. Twasa is to go for initiation to be Isangoma. That's a seer. And I'm just like, but my ancestors have said nothing to me about this child. How are they talking to you about my 13-year-old, about their initiation, but they've said nothing to me, but I am at my msamo every step of the way. So there is a rot too, even for us, but I'm just glad that we are calling out that rot. There isn't a single moment in Greek, they call it the Kairos moment. I would be lying if I say it's a single moment. It's been a culmination, but I have always had an inquiring mind. It has been a problem. Wherever I've gone, I've either been a square in a round or a round in a square. I've never really fitted because I tend to question things. So, and I'll tell you, I was born Catholic, went to Catholic schools even. Then on my own, became born again. I think I was 16 at a boarding school in KZN, met the born again fraternity. I think I was happy with the how they dance, you know. The Catholic Church was a bit somber in those days. One thing throughout those times that stayed with me was a state of Africans. I couldn't find myself in the Bible. Let's start there. Because the he, she, his, her doesn't exist in African languages. I call it gender grammar, or it's called gender grammar. It doesn't exist. Now, I was just like, okay, if this includes me, why does it have gender grammar, one? Two, because it doesn't have gender grammar, like in Zulu, the concept of what you call God in Christianity, in spirituality, it's called originator, because you believe amaZulu, that's where you originate from. Now, because there's no gender grammar, the concept of an originator for Africans is never genderized. So there's no his, her. So it bothered me that God was a he. So I'm just like, okay, if there's really the same God in the world, how come this one is a man, but uMvelinqangi, which is the name for the originator in Zulu, so what people say uMvelinqangi, or Ndebele people say uZim, they're not genderized. And for anyone who rocks up and tell me they're male, I want them to tell me, how do you know? Because we never carved them. We never drew them. We never interacted with them, actually. That's why when they came, they even called them the absent God, thinking they are laughing at us. And Jomo Kenyatta actually tore apart that concept in the book Facing Mount Kenya, talking about rainmaking. The absent God is a good thing. It's not a bad concept. Flag it, please, so that we can come back to it. I don't want to sidetrack myself, but we need to talk about the so-called absent God before the show ends. So I was just like, so how do they know that you were male? Because we don't have gender grammar. So it means it's actually not true, or it's 50-50. But the Christian one or the Muslim one, we know for sure they are male, because that's what the spirituality say. And then the third thing was just like, because I told I was raised Catholic through and through. I even went to Catholic schools. Then I became born again. Now I know the Bible through and through. So I'm just like, that's Jesus now. For Christians will know, but I'm helping those who are not. He came that we might have life and have it in abundance. Ah, my sister. After that abundance, the Congolese faced Leopold for over 100 years as a private Belgian colony who halved the population by the terror he unleashed on them, cutting off hands from 3 or 4 year olds in household because they were not meeting the rubber quota. They moved from there to be a Belgian colony. They moved from there to be under Mobutu's dictatorship. They moved from there to be what the Congo is today, plundered by the West, using two African countries, which I won't name on this show, to protect you. In South Africa, I would name them. Now, after he came, that we might have life and have it in abundance, we moved through slavery as a continent. We moved from it to colonialism. I call it classical colonialism, when you had the colonial army, the colonial administrator. We moved from there to neo-colonialism, which is what we are suffering now. In Latin, neo means new, for the sake of your listeners, which is economic and cultural slavery, actually. Now, I don't know about you, but that verse bothered me a lot. Abundance, I'm struggling to see the abundance. And most people say, oh, it's because your leaders are corrupt. They steal too much. Who told you there's no theft by leaders in Asia, in America, and in the West? The difference is they're stealing for themselves. Here, the difference is our leaders are forced to open pathways for them to still benefit Europe and still benefit whoever. And if people say, no, that's not the truth, I always ask them, so show me, where's Sankara? Is he still alive? Is Lumumba still alive? Is Steve Biko still alive? Is Magufuli still alive? I mean, the list goes on. So those things bothered me. And I think I had this question in my mind that says, what was Africa before Africa was Africa? Because remember, even the word Africa, we never gave ourselves. And we were never run as a single holistic continent, as I say. We had variant political systems in this continent. You had matriarchies, you had patrilinealities, not patriarchies. It's not the same thing. We can flag it also, can come back to it as a question. There's a fundamental difference between patriarchy and patrilineality. We had confederations. We had nation states. We had independent city states. We had a variety of political and governance systems. So, you know, when I started searching, okay, what was Africa before Africa was Africa? I then came across, oh, okay, so there's AD, Anno Domini, which is where we are now, which means after Christ in Latin. But there's BC, that's before Christ. Okay, if there's before Christ, what happened in Africa before Christ? And then I even came to the point where I'm calling it, oh, okay, because I'm not a Christian, it's not BC for me, it's BCE, before the Common Era. So it's not Anno Domini for me, it's Common Era. So, you know, delving into Africa, BCE, really opened my eyes. But also, just coming across how prominent women were in Africa, I think, which is another thing, because as I said, religion is strictly and fundamentally patriarchal. God is a man. The angels are little babies in the Catholic Church, little boy babies. All 12 disciples were men. Jesus is a man. The first priests were men. I mean, the first church that gave birth to all, the mother of all churches, the Catholic Church, all the priests are male. So I was just like, okay, but then I meet Neanda Nyagasigana of Zimbabwe, who was a spiritualist, a leader in her own right, who mobilized a whole two nations and the other ones, but primarily Shona and Ndebele, to fight against Cecil John Rhodes and his incursion into Zimbabwe. I'm just like, if we're always patriarchal, as they tell us, how could she do it? And then you meet the Kendake queens of Nubia, which is what they call Sudan Juba. I'm sorry, I can't say South Sudan. I think that's the biggest insult you could ever inflict on anybody. The heritage of Sudan belongs to the Africans. We know the northerners came there to colonize. There's even a date and time when Arabs landed here with Islam. So the people I call North Sudan is Khartoum. The people I call Sudan is Juba. So 100 years of nothing but matriarchy, the Kendake queens. Kendake is a title like Caesar. You begin to realize that, no man, something doesn't add up. You know, you're just like, no man. There's either disinformation or misinformation, but everything I'm told about myself as an African doesn't add up. And it is not in the books that I'm taught at school. It's not, I always tell people I have a PhD. I only did it for clever blacks. If I walk into a room with clever blacks, they should at least accept me, you know, and allow me to speak, because otherwise they say, who's this one? But I was not for a second fooled that everything I know about my people now, I would have learned in that PhD. So, you know, for me, I never had a single Kairos moment. It's just all those things adding together. But also, you know, remember, for you guys, colonization stopped with your parents. So it's stories you hear. For us, because apartheid was a continuation or a form of colonization, I've experienced it. I'm just like, the Catholic Church had a white church, nicely built, by money from Rome, And then we had churches in the township that are falling apart, where people must take money out of their pockets to keep up. And I'm just like, if he came that we might have life and heaven in abundance, that shouldn't have happened. The Catholic Church should have been the first to say slavery is wrong, colonization is wrong, but it actually wasn't. Through the papal bull of the 1880s, the Catholic Church is actually who divided the continent for colonization, because Spain and Portugal were fighting, and the Pope was just like, two Christian nations are not going to be fighting over monkeys and barbaric people. So Spain, you will take South America. Portugal, you will take America. While Portugal was overtaken by France, then gained powerful momentum, the British power, so they took them out. But Spain maintained its stronghold in South America. So there wasn't a single moment, to come back to your question. It was a process. And I can even tell you, I fought against the process, because Christianity is like drugs. Christianity is an opium. Karl Marx, that's one of the few moments I agree with a white German man. He was right. It's an opium. Once it has you, it has you. It permeates everything about your life. It even permeates how you judge people. Oh, fundamentally, the two are like North and East. They will not meet. The first one I talked about was religion is a system of patriarchy. Spirituality is a system of balance. I've heard people say it's matriarchy. That's a bit of a reach. It's about balance. That is why you'll find, like in the Zulu, we call them, I'm looking for the word. It will come to me, what it is in English. But it's almost like a system of how you came into being. It's a definition of how you came into being as a people. So for Zulu people, Omvilincane is alone, gender unknown. But you will see the deities that follow. You will now have Nomkhubulwane, that's a female deity. So you'll find the deities are both gendered. And then you come to ancestors, it's people who lived and walked the face of this earth. So they are both genders. And I'm talking biology now, not gender as a social construct. So that's the first thing. Two, spirituality comes from within. As I said, it is home-based. We don't have a specific day in the week where we go and assemble. And this God is so needy, you need to go and assemble and praise them for an hour or for 4 hours. No. Here, you speak more to your ancestors, to the deities. That's why they called them the absent God. They are not there. And I love the absent God. You know the present God of Christianity, you can tear them apart. And they say it with their own words. God says, not even a sparrow falls to the ground before I know. Then I'm just like, okay. So the 16-year-old girl that was raped, God knew and was there, but didn't prevent it. My daughter asked me a question when she turned 13. She said, the ships that came here to colonize us, because they came from Europe, did the guns and the Bibles come in the same ship? Did the soldiers and the missionaries come in the same ship? And before I struggled to answer her, she said, well, you have cognitive dissonance with your master's degree. I didn't have a PhD then. She said, of course they did. The part I can't handle is how he couldn't stop something he knew was going to alter us forever. He couldn't prevent it. But not even a sparrow falls to the ground before he knows. He's a present God. I like the absent God, which is the third difference with spirituality. Spirituality says, I have given you the science, the know-how, and the spirituality, and the intellect. That's why you have a brain. You are distinct from a lizard. To mix those and birth solutions. Jomo Kenyatta talks about it very brilliantly in Facing Mount Kenya, that we did not pray for rain. We fetched rain. You use the science, you use the spirituality, you use the knowledge, the culture, and the know-how. When you climb that mountain, it doesn't matter if you climb it for 4 months. One thing for sure is when you come down that mountain, you shall come down with rain. So that's another third fundamental difference. We have an originator that is absent, that has made you a steward on this realm of earth, because we have three realms. You have the one above, you have the one under, you have the one, the earth, which is in the middle. So on this earth, you have the realm. That's how we built the pyramids, because the pyramids are a feat of mathematics, of physics, of science in general, actually, of spirituality. Now, that's number three. Number four, we in spirituality, we We consult for communal things, basically. If you lived in a village of Bakamba 1,000 years ago, and you have this lion that just keeps attacking the village, and no matter what you do, you can't catch it. Or all your girls, they turn 10, and then they have a sudden disease and they die. And then you're just like, okay, we have disturbed the balance of nature, because that's the fifth one, we'll come to it. We've disturbed the balance of nature. So something is not in sync. Something is not balancing. Then you consult collectively to find out what is wrong. But where the bastardization has come in, people want to consult for personal reasons. How can I become rich? How do I bewitch my husband to divorce them? We never, for those things, you fought your ancestors at your umsam or at your altar. You got the answers. Difference which I have alluded to. In spirituality, nature is in us and we are in nature. The balance. In a religion, they will tell you, praise the maker, not the made, not the nature. For us, we can't separate the two. We are part of nature and nature is in us. Very important. In spirituality, there's no proselytization, what they call evangelizing. We don't recruit people to come and be in African spirituality. We believe it is inbred in you. It's endogenous in you because you are African. You are born with it. With spirituality, we need to recruit you. Born again people even have a date and time when they accepted Christ and it becomes a big day. And I can tell you, attached to that, there's never been a war fought in Africa from Morocco to Madagascar, from Cape to Cairo, based on spirituality. We don't endeavor to make ourselves look alike. There's no straight jacket. That's another difference I almost forgot. Spirituality is creative. Religion is prescriptive. It's a straight jacket. You either fit in or we demonize you and we bastardize you. In religion, there's faith. In spirituality, there's no faith. You just know. I didn't sit on this chair by faith. I sat and I knew it will balance me because I know chairs, because I've sat in chairs before. So I just sat. I didn't need faith to sit on the chair.
And that's all we've got time for today. We just heard A Treatise on African Spirituality by Dr. Kenyusele Shabalala. Accent of Women is produced in the Melbourne studios of Community Radio 3CR with the financial assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The show is distributed nationally via the Community Radio Network, with special thanks to the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia. Music for Accent of Women was written and produced by George Cantoray. Thanks for tuning into the program. I'm Nita, and we look forward to your company again.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.